Om Shanti. Good morning. And it's my honor to introduce Sister Gopi from Australia. She came to Gyan in 1994, and now she's living in the center in Melbourne. And she has been working in healthcare area related to nurses and therapy. And she loves working with young women. And today we have a lot of young women. And she's very simple, easy, and straightforward, and creative yogi, let's say. And today she's going to give us a class about the workshop. Sorry, about a very interesting topic: perfection versus perfectionism. Thank you, Sister Gopi, for spending time with us, and we are looking forward to hearing from you. And before we start, can I ask the ones sitting behind to come closer, because we will be more interactive and more closer. Yeah, thank you.
So thank you. It's nice to be told that you're simple, especially with the Western body and intellect. So thank you. So I know there's translation, so I won't try and talk too quickly. And this topic, which I've got quite a few notes, but I'm going to expand on different things. And it's a workshop, so there'll be a little bit of sharing with people near you or next to you. So all Brahmins know that we have come to Baba to become perfect. And everyone's trying to do that. But there's a difference between becoming perfect and perfectionism. So translation's okay? Yeah? Right. So being a perfectionist, everybody's heard of this term. Sometimes it's thrown around a little bit too easily. Anyone here a perfectionist? Come on. I think I'm a recovering perfectionist. Anybody recognize in themselves some perfectionism? Yeah, so some of you have come because you're interested in the topic. Some of you are here and you'll find out more about it. But who has never heard the term perfectionism? Can you just raise your hand? I'm just interested to know. Okay. Everyone has heard. Good. And I'm not going to go in. I'm from the mental health team as well. Some of you probably know that, the International BK Mental Health Team. I'm not going to go too much into perfectionism as far as a mental health condition goes, but more about looking at the way we operate individually in our centres and within our centres. Okay, so there'll be a just the contents of today. So there'll be a few myths about perfectionism. And where it operates, where it can operate, which is basically in all forms of our lives. So not just our spirituality, but in all forms of our practical life. So it's going to be a very practical look at perfectionism. Some unhelpful rules and assumptions in relation to perfectionism. And 10 false beliefs about perfectionism? Some examples of perfectionists, just in case you don't recognize it or know what it is. And how to challenge the rules of perfectionism. And in its more clinical presentation, it could be something like OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. So some of you may have heard of that. And there's 9 questions just to have a look on a personal level. It's like a little perfectionism chart just to check if your standards might be overly perfectionist. And then just to top it off nicely before, we'll have some meditation at the end, but also just some spiritual statements from Baba, from Avyak Bapdada, in relation to becoming perfect. So this is an important thing, that we are becoming perfect. So we don't have to be perfect right now. And I know, as a newbie, Kate, sometimes I remember, and I also see it, that, everyone really wants to try very hard and look very good. And sometimes we're not actually, what's going on inwardly is a little bit different to what's being presented. You don't want anyone else to see you having any mire. You don't want anyone else to see any flaws or weaknesses or faults. Yeah, we all like to look okay. We like to look part of this wonderful, perfect group of people. But remembering, we are becoming perfect. So the reason perfectionism is a problem is because it can put undue extra stress on a person. Very high standards. Yeah? And so if you're someone who sets very high standards, maybe a very high-achieving person, those kind of sanskaras, nothing wrong with that, that's fine. But if it's causing extra stress on yourself and others, you know, and especially someone in a bit of a leadership role, as in inspiring other people, encouraging other people, if we're a perfectionist, we will have that vision on other people, and that can be harmful. Yeah? Understand this so far? Is that okay? Yeah? So, ideally, what Baba's teaching us is, to become realistic. We become very realistic as a Brahman. And flexible and adaptable. Yeah? As we aim for perfection. So some of the myths around perfectionism is, and these are statements, so if you want to write them down, then there might be one that feels, that's me. So if you have these kind of attitudes or beliefs, so the harder people work, the better they will do. Okay? This is a belief. You may have that belief. The harder people work, the better they do. Yeah. So this can be true. But if it's underlying every single thing you do and you're pushing yourself too much, too extremes, where there is stress in what you do, whatever it is you're doing, it might be a service project of some sort or whatever you're doing, you know, relationships and so on. If there's stress involved because you're pushing yourself too hard, that's not good, is it? No? Stress brings tiredness, waste thoughts, all those kind of things. So this is one statement. Another one. To get ahead, you need to be single-minded and give up all outside interests. And And, you know, this may be true. To get ahead, we might think that we have to give up totally. Baba says, you know, forget the old world. Right? We hear that, and it's a very, very condensed statement. So when Baba talks to us about forgetting everything, forgetting the old world, we might be working still. We have a job. We have Lokic family. They have certain situations, expectations, and so on. So there's quite a bit of balance necessary in the way we do things. And as we go along as Brahmins, we become, as you all know, more refined. Yeah? The way we may have done things year one, year five, year ten, so on, we change as we become older and deeper and wiser. Yeah, everything becomes more refined. So as we go along, we may think to get ahead you need to be single-minded, give up all outside interests. But some Brahmins find that as they get older, some of their outside interests, suddenly they feel, oh, maybe I should start doing some exercise. I haven't done exercise for 10 years. And then maybe a health condition might happen. They need to do some exercise, you know. Yeah? So this is all being sensible and realistic. Outside interests, you know, some people, they... I'm not suggesting this is what you need to do, but some people find they have more balance in their life if they are, you know, doing some singing or some dancing or different kind of activity that they may have neglected or relegated to unimportant, yeah? Or even, you know, some kind of health care as everyone gets older and starts aging. Okay. So, and it's like, you know, the perfectionist will have a very extreme view on how things should be. Now, this next one, the more you put into something, the more you get out of it. Well, this is true, yeah? But sometimes with a perfectionist, putting in too much time, energy, effort into something, overdoing it, you know, becoming exhausted, becoming tired, becoming worn out, burnt out, all these things, angry, grumpy, all of that, not eating properly. All these things can happen, yeah? So it's balance about putting our energy into things. If it's upsetting the equilibrium of the soul, which may be reflected in its body, in its relationships, in its living situation, then we need to look at doing things a little bit differently. So it's a big refining process. And there's another one, it's a myth. People can't be happy if they are not successful. Okay, so in the world today, I mean, there's a huge attitude around, you know, success is everything and it's so important, but also on a spiritual level too, needing to look at, I'm not always going to be successful, am I, in my pursuits, yeah? There'll be days that are fantastic days, there will be days that are mediocre days. So this is the realistic approach. I can't always be successful, yeah? Maybe I can be successful. Am I pushing myself, overdoing things too much? And each one, don't look at others in this, you know? Each one has to look at their own situation. Somebody else that I share a house with may be able to do many, many, many things that I can't do. I might need to have a bit more rest. Yeah, I might need to, you know, work more or work less or do something differently. So it's really important not to look at other people as a benchmark for our own self. So success, we can be happy We are actually the most successful souls, of course, because we get to go to the golden age. So as far as a perfect, you know, becoming perfect goes, we are becoming perfect. We will have success. But if we put too much emphasis on being successful consistently, then we can, you know, be a bit disappointed. Or stress ourselves, stress other people as well. This is perfectionism. And this is another interesting one. If I avoid it, it tends to sort itself out. So one side of perfectionism is, another side of it, sorry, is procrastination. Let's have a drink. Does everyone understand procrastination? Yeah? Anyone here do that? Anyone good at doing that? Yeah, putting things off. Procrastination. It's another side of perfectionism. And you might think, well, how come? How does that work? But someone who is a perfectionist, they really want to get things right when they're doing something, some sort of project, whatever it might be. It needs to be absolutely right, correct. And to get into gear to do that, they may have to procrastinate because they're not quite ready to do all that at the moment. There's other things happening. So with a perfectionist, there will always be procrastination. Yeah? So, and we all procrastinate, realistically. Yeah? Anyone here never procrastinates? Yeah, so you all know what it is. Good. If a job is worth doing, then it's worth doing right. And that's true, yeah? If we're going to do something, to do it right. But in a perfectionist mindset, right means everything has to be completely right and go completely well, right? Everyone needs to be, you know, there's the control element involved. So it can be very unhealthy for the person who's promoting that, but also others that are involved. Yeah, we all do the best we can, don't we? Yeah, we all put in the effort. But sometimes we know, yes, I can make more effort. Baba's a great coach. Baba coaches us often. Every Merle is coaching us to become better. But it's like we will do what we need to be doing. And we will know, our inner barometer, our conscience will let us know just if we're being a little bit slack or lazy or so on. But with a perfectionist, it has to be very high benchmark, very high standard. And here's another myth. People notice every little detail and are quick to form critical judgments. So if you think about that and that concerns you, or if you find that you think that way, then that's a bit of a concern as well, because you're worrying too much about others. And a perfectionist will act in such a way because they're very concerned about the opinions of others, very concerned about getting things right. Okay, so there's some of the myths and some of the places where perfectionism operates, like everywhere, and it's about performance, our performance. So these days, you know, and someone here might be one, they have performance coaches, a coach who will coach the performance of someone to become better at something. So our performance at work or school or in our spiritual life, yeah, perfectionism can be operating in those areas. In our relationships, our friendships, family life, even in leisure and recreation, in sport, you know, sport in the world, a lot of perfectionism. Neatness and aesthetics. So, you know, cleaning a lot. And of course, we're BKs, we like things clean and tidy, but overdoing it, right? Over cleaning, over moving things around, changing things, whatever. It can be a sign of perfectionism. Stressful, yeah? Organizing and ordering. So it's good to keep lists, and that's fine, you know, especially having a list for doing things, but too many lists and too many, you know, this has to be exactly as it is and so on, and it can't be different. So that, once again, the element of control coming into the perfectionist mindset. It can operate in writing. You know, how we write, how we record things. It can operate in speaking, how we speak. I mean, I've been noticing, it's been interesting lately, I have a bit to do with younger people through my work, and you know how they put on a voice? They put on a voice. They make a voice, some of them, not all of them, but they put on this voice to speak in a particular way so they sound cool, you know? It's a young person thing. But, yeah, we can also be doing that. In some way, it's a sign of trying to be perfect. Physical appearance, well, that goes without saying. And health and personal cleanliness, you know? So, of course, as you know, we BKs, so we will be the highest standards, but when it's overly fastidious, you know, if there's sort of, you know, in the bathroom, check your bathrooms, too many beauty products or too many types of shampoos or whatever, you know, there's so many things we can put the extra time, energy, inclination into trying to become perfect. And some of the rules and assumptions, and by the way, just this is all sourced from the Centre for Clinical Intervention. It's a government health site, which through my work, I work in mental health, private, and do some therapy and see clients in the community. So a lot of the stuff that's sourced here through the Centre for Clinical Intervention in Western Australia. So perfectionist self-esteem is based heavily on their ability to attain extremely high standards. And consistent with their belief in the importance of achieving these high standards, their lives are often directed by a number of rules and assumptions. You know, this must be like this, or this should be like this, or this ought to be like this. So those things, musts, shoulds and ought to be's, just to ensure that these very high standards are met. So for example, some common rules. Everyone going okay with translation? Yeah? That's right. Common rules. And this is where someone might think part of their inner rules, you know. I must do things perfectly. And within that, there's a fear of failing. That's the fear. And they might think, if I try, then I will only fail. So they don't try. So this is where procrastination can come in, yeah? That's the other side of perfectionism, but it's still linked. And what's happening there, there's again, fear. Fear's a big thing. It's one of the vices, we know. Fear of failure, again. So if I try, I'll only fail. So nothing gets done. Fear of failure. My house must be neat and tidy at all times. It's true, someone's saying it's true. It is true. It's good. However, if we have to be realistic in all this, you know, sometimes it cannot be like that for some reason. And especially end times, we're going to see some interesting things as far as perfectionism goes. There'll be, you know, things won't be able to be as totally streamlined as we may hope or think. There'll be all sorts of suddenlies and different things happening. So this is an interesting one. There is a right way and a wrong way to do all things. So think about that one, whether you actually believe that, because it's very all or nothing. You know, think about the Merlin and how Morney was talking about this recently too, but it's like in the Merlin, Baba will inspire us in one direction about an attitude, and then he will also inspire us completely in the other direction about that same thing, so that our intellect becomes very broad in the way that we think about things, so that in different situations we can assess how we're going to act or how we're going to carry through in this situation, yeah? Rather than having an all or nothing consciousness or an all or nothing attitude, you know? It's very kind of rigid. Rigid, too rigid or too loose. Over-checking their own behaviour. And sometimes, you know, like we can overthink. I don't know if this is worldwide, but I know in Australia there's one course that gets given to new people coming to the BKs, overcoming overthinking. Yeah, so we do have a tendency at times to overthink. Sometimes. So, over-checking your own behaviour. And another unhelpful rule or assumption, I must be prepared for anything, which is true. However, if we're trying to be in control all the time, is that possible? Yeah, no. And it gets very hard. You know, sometimes this is Baba talks about becoming easy, an easy yogi. And we have to really understand that too, because an easy yogi is not a careless yogi. But we can't control everything. Drama is totally unpredictable. All that we control is our responses to things. Yeah? Yeah. Well, we have to be very flexible. So much. So some of these rules I just mentioned or assumptions say they can allow the person to just set really high standards for themselves, which is not healthy, you know. It's very perfectionist. So just for a few minutes, maybe about 5 minutes or so, just to someone next to you, someone nearby, just see if there are any of those rules just mentioned that you actually can relate to. Just one. Or any similar ones that you can think of. So just have a little bit of chit-chat for a few minutes about that. And remembering the shoulds and the ought-tos and the musts. And just write those things down for later remembering. Okay, so I know that seemed very short, sorry, but we have to move along a bit. So just save, because there'll be a bit more sharing and communicating. Hopefully everyone got a chance to say something to somebody else. All right, so let's ring my little bell again. Thank you, Ruth, for this bell. Okay, Om Shanti. Off we go. All right, so just a few false beliefs here about perfectionism. Okay, this is how a perfectionist will think. Okay? There's about 10 of them. So one, if someone criticizes me, it means that there's something wrong with me. Okay? All right, that was number one. Second one, and this is one for all those people-pleasing types. I must always please people and live up to everyone's expectations. And if you recognize that within yourself, you'll be seeing that you do get exhausted every so often, because it's very hard to please everyone. In fact, it's not possible. Impossible. Pardon? I didn't hear. This is for Brahmins, but everyone's included, like family as well. Doesn't matter who we're trying to please. First one, if someone criticizes me, it means that there is something wrong with me. So a perfectionist will really take that to heart and not maybe think, oh, well, maybe, okay, a bit of it's true, maybe I need to do a bit of work, maybe that person's having a bad day, maybe they're a bit jealous, maybe this, maybe that, you know. Of course, if someone criticizes me, there must be some element to it and to check, but not completely take it on board and, yeah. So second one, I must always please people and live up to everyone's expectations. Oh, how very hard to do that. And the third one, other people are to blame for my problems. It's a false belief. We know about, karma, improving our relationships. From our angle, Rajyoga is very much about self-responsibility. And this one, it would be terrible to be rejected, abandoned, or alone. I must have love and approval before I can feel good about myself. Yeah, this is quite a deep one. I think, everyone experiences some sort of rejection, abandonment, some more than others, depending on situations. But if this is a belief that with the thing with beliefs, Mike George has taken this up a lot, but our beliefs impact every single thing we do, the way we do things, the way we interact with people, the way we respond and so on. Yeah. Another one. And you have to be quite honest to look at some of these, The world should always be the way I want it to be. I can relate to that. Wouldn't it be nice, But if we're thinking like that, it's a perfectionist way of thinking. If we are thinking like that, how much will we take sorrow and, be upset or disillusioned or disheartened by things? So the world will be according to the drama. So the world will always be the way I want it to be. And this one also, another false belief. Other people should always meet my expectations. It's true, we would prefer that, wouldn't we? We would like it if everyone was as we would like them to be, but it's not like that. So to the extent that we're thinking like that constantly, we're going to be, you know, creating a bit of trouble for ourselves. We'll be disheartened, disillusioned, so on. This next one's quite an interesting one. If I worry or feel bad about a situation, it will somehow make things better. So sometimes, you know, and mums are very good at doing that, worrying and feeling bad about things. But it doesn't make things better, does it? And another one, I must always try to be perfect. To be a worthwhile person, I must be a great success at everything I do. So this is like that high benchmark, high achieving consciousness. And another false belief, I must always try to be happy. I must control my negative emotions and never feel anxious or depressed. Okay, so this is an interesting one. Baba says, be happy. Daddy says, be happy. Everyone says, be happy. We want to be happy. But if we're not able to feel happy because of our response to a particular event or situation, we can't force ourselves to be happy. We need to address that pain, you know, this is the psychological side of it. We need to address that before we can actually bring ourselves into a happy feeling, yeah? So this is about feelings and emotions as well. Does anyone agree with that? I must always be happy. I must control my negative emotions and never feel anxious or depressed. Who agrees with that? Yeah, one person. Okay, so everyone else realizes that it's a false belief. Okay, good. Yes? Not sure. Okay. People who love each other, this is an interesting one. People who love each other should never fight or feel angry at each other. That right? So if you're living in a household where this rule operates, and hopefully there's the idea that everyone loves each other, but there's this growing inner conflict because things are not being discussed, talked about, recognized or understood, it's not a healthy atmosphere, right? Everyone see that? Sometimes things are very under the surface. Okay, so maybe take a statement from that you can relate to, and just on your own, just write something down for a few minutes about it in relation to yourself, one of those 10 false beliefs. Okay. Few minutes to do that. Just write whichever one you may have identified with, write something about it, something that you can relate to. And we have to be honest about this, what we do. Has everyone recognized something there in one of those 10? Okay, we'll move along a bit because I'm just aware of the time, that's all. So cognitively, cognitive, as in brain and thinking, there's some cognitive features of perfectionism. And one that's been mentioned so far is all or nothing thinking. So it's very extreme and very rigid. It's all or nothing. Unrealistic and inflexible standards. Raising the bar when standards are met. So trying to meet certain standards, but raising the bar even higher, which can be stressful. Yeah? If it's not stressful, it's fine. It's not perfectionism. It's nothing to worry about. And another cognitive thing, overestimating the likelihood of negative events. So basically that, you know, seeing things in a negative sense, as in this could happen, this will happen. Yeah? And underestimating one's ability to cope with negative events. And being overly focused on details. And I'll just give you, there's a few examples here of what a perfectionist looks like, how they act. So, for example, a woman, a female, struggles to be a perfect parent, a perfect wife, and a perfect employee, often to the detriment of her emotional and physical health. Okay, so you can see how that works. Some of you may know people in that situation or may have even encountered that for yourself. So that's a lady, a female. Another one, a graphic artist, so a creative person, constantly seeks reassurance that his work is of the highest quality and that he's well respected and well liked by others. Yeah, we might do that in Gyan in the sense of we're involved in some service and we are constantly seeking out that approval and we want it to be liked and we want to be respected. You know, this whole name and fame thing, there can be elements of perfectionism within that, right? Do you understand that? Yeah. And another one, a student constantly strives to meet excessively high academic standards and they're devastated when they get a grade that is less than perfect. So that's a fairly typical one with, you know, high achieving and I mean, it's great to achieve highly, nothing wrong with that. So a student goes ahead, but if they don't get the grade, how's their reaction, how's their response? And, you know, just reflecting on oneself in some of the things we might pursue in our Brahman life and see, you know, does this situation make me devastated? I mean, there's a, you know, a change or something goes on and according to my level of perfectionism, yeah, so this whole thing of flexibility, easiness, very good. Another one, an individual spends hours planning every aspect of every day and becomes very distressed if things don't go according to his or her plans. Yeah, so in a way, you know, perfectionism is a bit like the opposite of being able to just let go. Let go, move on, change the attitude. Okay, so just in groups, maybe in groups of four, think of other situations that you know about where a person can be motivated by perfectionistic tendencies. Yeah? What you may have seen. And what could change that? It's always good to have an outcome, a result. Or maybe something that you've recognised that you've done, but you realise, you know, I don't want to go down that track anymore. I've finished acting in that way. Okay? And then we've got, we'll have a few questions about whether to determine if your standards are overly perfectionistic. Okay, and just ways to actually change it. There's a sort of a method, okay, a few steps. So if you need to do that, you can utilise that. So just now, in groups of four, 10 minutes, and just think about a situation that you personally identified. Maybe you've seen something, maybe it's been part of your own experience, and how that could be different from what you know and understand about perfectionism at this point. Om Shanti. So there's just a little bit more to go through with you so you can work out your own transformation of any perfectionism that might be there. So there's a method which I'll talk about a little bit, a method for, there's 9 questions as well. So the 9 questions, I'll just ask those questions. You might want to write these down. So these are 9 questions to determine whether your standards are overly perfectionistic. Okay, question 1. What do I expect of myself? Of myself. And it might be related to a particular area, so at home, at work, in my spiritual life, which is our life, in this particular task or project. So what do I expect of myself? 1. 2, what standards do I expect myself to meet? And the 3rd one, are my standards higher than those of other people? And 4, do my standards help me to achieve my goals, or do they get in the way? Do my standards help me to achieve my goals or hopes, or do they get in the way? For example, getting in the way, they might make me get overly disappointed or angry when they're not met, or by making me get less done. Yeah? Okay, fifth one. So you need to have recognized what your standards are in your expectation of yourself, yeah, in this task or situation. So fifth one, am I able to meet my standards? Do I get overly upset if I don't meet my own standards? And I don't know, we have a term, you know, you start beating yourself up, that kind of thing. This is also about perfectionism. Six, what would the costs of, do you want five again? Am I able to meet my standards? Do I get overly upset if I don't meet my own standards? That's five, two part. And then six, what would be the costs of relaxing a particular standard or ignoring a rule that I have? For example, I should always be on time. Yeah, that's a standard, isn't it? Yeah? Or I should always be 15 minutes early. You know? The more perfectionist might have one, I should always be half an hour early. That kind of thing. So standards. I must, I should, I ought to. So what would be the costs of relaxing a particular standard or ignoring a rule that I have? So you might have this is a good one, for example. You might have a standard, I should always speak sweetly. And, you know, Baba says, speak sweetly, speak softly, yeah? It's a benchmark. But a perfectionist, if they're not able to speak sweetly all the time, and I haven't met anyone so far who does that, they will have a bad feeling about themselves, or they will beat themselves up in some way, or they will feel very not good, you know? Yeah. So benchmarks. So the next one, what do I expect of myself in my various roles? So my roles as a child. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yes, seven. What do I expect of myself in my various roles? So we've all got lots of different hats we wear, yeah, during the day. We can be a child, we can be a friend, we can be a partner, parent, staff member, boss, leader, coordinator, manager, etc. So what do I expect of myself in my various roles? So for example, a perfectionist may be a very well-adjusted, well-meaning, positive BK. Yeah? And they're procrastinating in other areas of their life. So their role might be as a father. You know, they're not fulfilling the responsibilities of that role because of perfectionism operating in other ways. Yeah? Do you understand that? So we might, if we're a perfectionist, it doesn't mean it's going to be in every area of our life. We might be a perfectionist in the workplace. Yeah? But then when we come home, things are a bit chaotic and, you know, the fridge is empty and the children are running around and neglected. This kind of thing, you know, this is how it works. Yeah? Do you understand? So perfectionism is not necessarily every area of our life. It may, somebody may be a perfectionist in relation to looking after their shed. Right? In Australia, when men retire, they have to have a shed. Otherwise, they go a bit, you know, there's nothing to do. What do they do? So they might be very perfectionist about having the shed very neat and tidy, and nobody needs to go in there and upset anything. And if they do, look out. Yeah? It's perfectionism. But they will become very stressed, upset, disheartened, angry, and so on and so forth if things are not happening properly in their shed. Right? We might be like that around something at the centre, in service, whatever. We have to recognise these things, yeah? Okay, so what do I expect of myself in my various roles? And number, I think it's eight, yes. What do I criticise in other people? What standards do I expect them to live up to? So everyone that's been over 20 years in Gyan should be doing this. That's my expectation. Everyone that's over 60 years in Gyan, they should be like this, right? Everyone that's over 2 years in Gyan, you know, this kind of attitude, it's perfectionism that I create within myself, yeah? High benchmarks, high standard. Okay, so what do I criticize in other people? What standards do I expect them to live up to? I remember being very devastated, and this is, I say this with a lot of love, but when a particular senior instrument was angry, and I hadn't experienced that before, but then I realized, well, you know, we're all making efforts. Everyone is making effort, yeah? Because if we have that perfectionism about us, then we see in other people that they're not living up to my high standards. Then I will be the one that's getting upset. You know, everyone's got their behaviours. Everyone's working on themselves. Yeah, so this flexibility, this acceptance. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Or living in the centre, and one of the centre residents, they're having an off day or something, you know. Well, an off moment maybe. But if I'm a perfectionist, I will expect, oh, they should be like this. Yeah, everyone's laughing, so you must know what I'm talking about. Okay, last one. Are other people able to meet my standards? Do I get overly upset if others don't meet my standards? Okay, so these are just questions to determine whether your standards are perfectionistic. And what you come up with, that's your research. It's good. Now, the main thing with this is about how to challenge and change those rules that we set up for ourselves. Our rules, our beliefs. Okay, I'll just read this bit. Generating a more helpful rule or assumption involves thinking in another way. To see yourself and the world that is balanced, flexible to different circumstances and realistic given the state of affairs. So it's a bit like stable on drama, yeah? In putting a new rule or assumption in place, work out how you would act in everyday life if you actually already believed that. Then act in that way. This is how to change perfectionism, okay? So first one, there's five steps here. First one, identify your unhelpful rule or assumption. Okay, everyone should be nice to me all the time. That kind of thing, you know. Should, must, ought to. Yeah. Unhelpful. Sorry about my accent. Unhelpful rule or assumption. So the shoulds, the ought tos, the musts. Second one, work out where it comes from or how it developed. You know, you might come from a whole family of people that have that rule. It's not uncommon. Or it might have been, you know, mum or dad or your older sister or something like that, you know. Or some misinterpretation sometimes of Baba's Gyan, Srimat. And we do, until we, you know, we're all going along reviewing everything constantly, reviewing our understanding of the things that Baba tells us. Yeah, it's true, isn't it? As we, you know, we don't just, we can know the knowledge in 3 weeks, but to be able to really digest and reflect and review and renew deeper and deeper. Okay, so back to the assumptions of perfectionism. Question, third one, question whether your rule is realistic or reasonable or achievable. So back to everyone should be polite and pleasant all the time. Is it realistic, reasonable, achievable, that kind of thing? Or I should dun 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 often or all the time or forever. And four, recognize the negative consequences of having or keeping this rule. So generally the negative, you know, lots of waste thoughts. Yeah? Waste thoughts, burden, stress. Yeah? Huh? Recognize the negative consequences of having and keeping this rule. And the fifth one, which is like the outcome, develop a more helpful rule or assumption. Develop a more helpful rule or assumption. So you might have the idea, if I please everyone, then life will be very easy for me. Does anyone think like that? There's one. So we might think like that, right? And we might find out through trial and error that it's not true. It doesn't work like that. So we need to develop a more helpful rule or assumption. And that might be, well, I will try and do my best and be nice with people, but there's no way in the world that I can please everyone all of the time. Some people may not like what I do, what I say, or what the situation is, yeah? Pardon? So the last one, develop a more helpful rule or assumption. Practice is very important for challenging your perfectionism. Practice and remind yourself, and this is a good one because it's talking about perfectionism, remind yourself that you don't have to achieve change perfectly or even quickly because that's a perfectionist thing within itself, right? Yeah? So change of these perfectionist traits, it's like you don't have to do it immediately because the perfectionist will want it right now. Quick. I need to do it fast. So if you take a situation that you can identify where you are operating in that way and you want to do something about it, great. So take a look at that and just moving into some of the things. Some of us back in Melbourne, a few of us while I was churning out this workshop got together and shared a few gems from our spiritual experiences of perfection. And these are some of the things we came up with. So perfect means no flaw. A diamond of high value, completely refined. I have to make an effort of polishing myself. Look at my spots and stains, as well as my specialities. I need a very good stain remover, Gyan and Yoga. And there should be no mixture in the stain remover. So Bubba is perfect. Bubba never fluctuates and is never influenced. In perfection, there is contentment. Okay? In perfectionism, there's a lot of discontent. So in perfection there is contentment, stillness, consistency in virtues and intentions. In perfection there is contentment, stillness, consistency in virtue and intentions. And this one totally challenges perfectionism. Accepting one's own and others' imperfection will make you perfect. Isn't that lovely? Sort of sums up the whole session, really, doesn't it? Accepting one's own and others' imperfection will make you perfect. Keep bettering yourself, become a better you. I have natural and good abilities. Use of my speciality will help me to become perfect. Brahma Baba became complete, however, not by being a perfectionist. He used the right method. And then these are actually a couple of things from Avyak Bhaktada on being perfect, perfection. When Bhaktada looks at your stage of perfection, he notices how much spiritual intoxication and sparkle there is in each one's form of perfection. So he's looking in a very trickle-dashy, futuristic way. You are now attaining perfection and you definitely do have to attain it. That's Baba and Baba again. You have to marry your stage of perfection. You have to marry your stage of perfection. This means that you constantly have to wear the wedding garland of constant zeal and enthusiasm. So it's a very different feeling to perfectionism, yeah, which is hard work. Okay. Very good. So, Om Shanti. I hope you all enjoyed that and got something from that. And I just want to do a meditation now just to finish. It's a meditation to relax the mind. So just sit comfortably. This meditation is to allow the mind to relax. And to relax the mind. So everyone becoming self-conscious. Just in that state of self-consciousness, to relax the mind, we need to let go of stresses that are causing friction within. And as we begin to relax the mind, try to visualize that you're sitting on the banks of a stream as a peaceful observer. And the stream is flowing with the thoughts in your mind. Some positive, some negative, some necessary, some unnecessary. But just relax and let the thoughts flow by like a stream. And watch these thoughts and realize that you're separate from those thoughts. And that you're relaxed, knowing that. So just let them flow by and don't get attached to those thoughts. Sitting on the bank of the river like an observer, experience deep relaxation. There's no need to worry about each and every thought in your mind. Let the negative ones just flow past. Enjoy the positive ones as an observer of your mind. And as I am the observer, I choose to relax with positive feelings. And the more these relaxed feelings are in my heart, I notice the gradual change of thoughts from a somewhat polluted negative stream to a clear flowing stream of positive thoughts. Thoughts such as that I am relaxed and peaceful, a soul. No matter what thoughts are in my mind or in the mind of others, because I'm a relaxed, peaceful observer. Calm, concentrated, detached, the soul as the observer. Om Shanti.